Star Wars, give me those Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars, don't let them end. Star Wars, those daring Star Wars, talking about Star Wars on the podcast.
Hello, and welcome to a special episode of Give Me Those Star Wars, the official Star Wars show of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. I'm Ryan Daly, and this is a special trailer reaction episode. That means it's going to be shorter than usual and full of spoilers. If you haven't watched the brand new trailer for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, check it out. I'll have links to the video posted in the show notes for this episode, on the Fire and Water website, and on the Facebook page. And I can't imagine it would be difficult to find it online anyway. Check out the trailer and come back to this episode. If you don't want to watch the video, if you don't want any spoilers, talk to you next episode, I hope. If you're still here, or if you have just come back after watching the trailer, please help me welcome my guest returning to Give Me Those Star Wars, Mr. Aaron Bias. How are you, Aaron?
I am well, Ryan. And yourself?
I am great. Michael Phelps, you know, Simone, it's all good.
Yeah, that Canadian chick, she tied.
Oh, yeah, Alexiak, she looked good. Yeah, 16 years old.
So, you know, I can extend well wishes to the neighbor's kid. That's all right.
Absolutely. And 16 years old, that was probably the last time I was in a swimming pool like that. All right, let's get down to business. The reason that I have you on here, we just watched the trailer, the official trailer for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. What did you think? Overall, big impression thoughts.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that it had a criminal lack of Constable Zuvio.
Again with the Constable Zuvio. You're just going to keep beating that horse.
Well, you know, you're going to invest all that. There's a Black Series action figure of a guy who's not in the movie. All right, anyway, so Rogue One, I'm excited. I'm seeing a lot of stuff that's got very consciously – I'm hoping it's not like one of those things that's hitting people over the head, but, you know, I'm a production design nerd in a lot of ways, and so I'm watching this and seeing a lot of very nicely borrowed design elements in the costuming and in the new things. I like that new ship.
Yes,
a lot.
I guess they've announced that it is called the U-wing fighter, but it's actually more of a troop transport / gunship, so not a personal starfighter like we're used to seeing.
Right. It's got, you know, it's obviously got like a multi-person, you know, like it's got a pilot, co-pilot set up at the very least, mm-hmm. if not like a four-seater. And then it's got that, obviously it's got that kind of X-wing engine package set up. Mm-hmm. But then that forked front like the Falcon, but not, because it's just a wing, not like a big, you know,
right.
grippy hull thing, like a mandible thing. I'm really liking it. It's nice because it's familiar and yet unique at the same time.
Yeah, it feels like it's part of that world.
Yes, you know, things like that dude's parka. it's a callback, but it's different, but it fits. And also, he has that little either a Purina logo or a package of Nice stapled to his jacket, like in all the Rebel officers we saw in Empire Strikes Back. So
yeah,
that's good.
They're salad, the bar, all of the officers' ranks and everything.
Mm-hmm. We got to see a Grand Admiral uniform, which is something we did see in the original Star Wars for like 2 seconds at the table, but...
Yeah, the bad guy. They've said that his name is Director Orson Krennic, and he is kind of the head of Imperial Intelligence, and he's the one hunting them down.
Is he in charge of those like weird Black Ops stormtroopers that we've seen?
Yeah, the Death Troopers or whatever they're called. The black ones are like under his command, and I wanted to see more of him. Like that was mm-hmm. one of the things. Like we got glimpses, but we didn't really get much of, I guess, well, sort of thinking about what this trailer did, other than sort of like set up the world, set up the story. Obviously, they're on a mission to get the Death Star plans, even though that itself didn't necessarily seem as clear. Like, what was set up was a mission to find a way to stop the Death Star. So I guess, I mean, that's inherent in finding the Death Star plans.
Right.
It's used to find what its structural weakness is. But I expected just a little bit more of a clear understanding that this takes place, you know, 10 minutes before the original Star Wars. I figured that would be something that they would want to market to and bridge, make that connection.
It's still very much a teaser at this point.
It is, and this is kind of their style, and there was a lot that I liked about it. Like, everything that I saw, everything that was hitting me visually, I loved. Like you were saying, I love the design of the characters, their costumes. I really like this main character, Jyn Erso. I think she looks great. I love the droid that they've got, K2SO. He looks really cool. But what I was hearing in terms of the dialogue and the tone felt very kind of generic, I guess. Like, none of the dialogue really hit me and made me think, like, oh, that's a cool line. Or, like, nothing like, you know, when I saw the trailer for The Force Awakens, when we see Harrison Ford say, the Jedi, the Force, it's real.
Well, you know, I think part of that is just that for we've just come off of having The Force Awakens, in which we actually get connected back to the Star Wars we all knew, which is something that I think the prequels suffered from a little bit, was that it was kind of a disconnect from, you know, these people are connected to the people you know, but the people you know aren't there except for, you know, R2 and 3PO and,
you know,
Yoda. Like you got a lot of time with Yoda. so I think that this is going to have that same slightly uphill battle. You know, they've given you, this one does have the advantage of being right smack in the middle of a familiar setting. I mean, you recognize, like, the Yavin 4 hangar, that lady's a dead ringer from Mon Mothma.
Right. It's the woman who played Mon Mothma in a deleted scene from episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. So she has played that character before. but getting back to your point, like, this idea that they don't have that connection, like, with Harrison Ford coming back as Han Solo, they do have Darth Vader. We see the back of his helmet in the last second of this teaser. That really surprised me. Like, I would think, like, showing him in full glory, give him a line. We know James Earl Jones is doing the voice again. That's been announced and confirmed at Comic-Con or the Celebration. Something like that, I think, would have that moment that just floors the audience, or it could potentially.
Well, my hope is this so far, as far as getting us into this. I, you know, right away, you're already responding to Jyn Erso as seeming like a viable, likable character. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's her story. Obviously, we're going to have to see some sort of character arc for her to go from an angry anarchist to someone who believes in a cause. And I am hoping that we also will get character arcs out of the supporting cast, because I don't know what all their, you know, I mean, I know we have some people who have, like, bizarre, interesting backstories. You've got Saul, what's his name, played by Forrest Whitaker. You've got the blind martial arts dude
who name drops the Force in this.
Force.
Yeah.
and is he going to, I'm wondering if he's going to be connected, like helping build this Church of the Force thing they've already alluded to with Max von Sydow and maybe Maz Kanata or whatever. I don't know.
Maybe if they did some sort of connection like that, I would think, if I understand right, he is not a Jedi. He's not like a pull out of the Jedi, but he is a believer, perhaps a practitioner of the Force. He has some latent Force potential, and maybe that's how he becomes a sort of Satoichi type of character, like a blind samurai.
Right. But I these guys seem to be kind of somewhere between the Magnificent Seven and the Dirty Dozen.
Right.
You know what I mean? They seem to be kind of, some of them obviously are specialists. And then some of them, I get the feeling, are just like Jyn Erso, probably recruited from, you know, well, we can either turn you over to the authorities or you can help us out.
Yeah. And I think you're right that we will get character arcs, or at least stories for each of these characters, because mm-hmm. the original teaser we got, it was all about her. Like, she, like, right. we saw other characters, but it was front and center on her. This one is still very much that she is the leader, she is at the heart of this, but it mm-hmm. made sure to give everybody else their little moments.
Right.
Like, the weapons master guy, like, with the, you know, firing a rocket launcher at the AT-AT. We got the moment with the droid. We got Diego Luna's character as sort of...
They fired the weapon at the what?
Oh, do you call it an AT-AT?
Oh, hell yeah, I do.
Let's just say Imperial Walker. That's how it was referred to in the movie.
It's a walker.
Yeah.
The droid even gets a moment.
Yeah, he does.
In the trailer to give you a little personality clip.
Mm-hmm. Again, I mean, that kind of was like none of the dialogue blew me away, but I like that they're trying. I'm also, you know, I'm not going into this one expecting, you know, an Aaron Sorkin-esque script. You mentioned like the sort of scenery, the design and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The first sort of world that we're introduced to within the trailer, we have this city that appears to be built on top of a mesa or butte or something like that on a desert world. I thought that looked great. I was really impressed with like just the way that looks. It's distinctly alien, but it looks really cool. It does look lived in. It looks like something that could be part of Star Wars.
Now, here's something interesting. Okay, so I was thinking about this because mm-hmm. that like walled city on top of a tall mesa,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and they take a minute to give you a good look at that thing. Okay, and then we have all these shots of Imperial troops in their little hover tank.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, like, they have a feel just in that tiny clip. And, you know, and I could be way off base, but the first thing I got out of this is an army of subjugation.
Mm-hmm.
They're rolling down the streets, showing everybody that they're there, their presence, and they want you to know to get out of their way. And that walled city on top of a mesa. Have you ever seen the movie Masada?
I have not.
Well, it's a terrible TV movie, really, but it's based on an historical event. The Roman army laid siege to a walled fortress on top of a mesa, basically, mm-hmm. in Israel or Palestine or whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still there, the fortress. It had been a fortified summer palace for one of the Herods. And the Romans laid siege to it, but they couldn't. It took them forever because it was just in such a ridiculous place. They couldn't get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the horrible end of that is that all of the people who had rebelled against the Roman Empire finally ended up killing themselves just as a final like up yours to the Romans. But the
I'm not sure if we'll see that in the movie.
No. I don't anticipate anything like that. But I'm saying that image, you know, the two mm-hmm. things, one right after the other, the empire rolling into town and this walled fortress on top of a mesa, it just kind of instantly like reminded me of that. The conquering empire and the fort.
That definitely seems deliberate, and I think we mm-hmm. are going to see a lot of that play out. Because in the first Star Wars movie, we're kind of told that the Empire is a bad thing, but we don't see why the rebels are rebelling
right.
beforehand. I mean, obviously we see... I mean, the Imperials, you know, go off and kill innocent people like Luke's adopted parents or his uncle and aunt, unless you buy into the... You know, the fan theory that it was actually Obi-Wan who murdered them.
Well, you know, the whole setup in Star Wars, you know, I mean, the radio play goes mm-hmm. on and on and on at length and gives you that. But that's not what you got to see right off the bat.
Right.
The movie Star Wars is like 5 minutes of exposition that's all but mustache twirling and hand wringing about, well, we've dissolved the Imperial Senate and, yeah, very, you know, we're evil and we're taking over, which is fine. It's very Flash Gordon-y and it certainly works.
Right. So I think this movie, part of its job is going to show us why there is a rebellion, the actual,
right.
what the cost is of this empire, what it feels like to be occupied. And I think that's going to inform the decisions of some of the other characters, like Jin and like the people in her crew. I think one of the guys actually says something to the effect of, like, they took my world or something, now I'm fighting back.
I know all of our grown up nerd friends will give me a hard time for this, but in a way, this trailer made me think, you know, this movie's kind of like Star Wars Rebels for grown-ups. It's covering that. So I'm not saying it's like rehashing, but I'm saying it's covering that same territory that, like, okay, so here's why there's a rebellion. Here's what the Empire does, et cetera.
No, I get it. Yeah. I'm trying to think again. I've only watched the trailer. I've watched it three times. And there's just so many. It's just a collage of images that kind of have to absorb. So I'm going to watch it a lot more and kind of process it. But sort of the one final thing that I did want to mention or just touch upon is, before we get the title card, is that image of Jin sort of walking out on a kind of plank or a gangway, and a TIE fighter just rising up in front of her. I'm figuring that's misdirection, and that might be actually a good guy piloting the TIE fighter, and she's using that to escape, but...
I would have to assume.
If not, okay, that's some cojones on that girl.
It's Darth Vader. He's there to throw down.
Yeah. Overall, the trailer did enough of it. I was already going to see the movie. I was already fairly excited for it. The trailer gave me a lot of new images, a lot of new things to process, things that I liked. It doesn't wow me the way the trailer to The Force Awakens did. It just doesn't have that emotional impact, but I don't know if it could. I mean, because we're now in a world where Star Wars is back. Star Wars is going to be a regular thing. So
The Force Awakens had to win you back over.
Right. This one just has to say, hey, we're still a thing. We didn't go away. That wasn't a flash in the pan. So, speaking of that, one other little piece of news, unrelated to the trailer, but there will be a new Force Friday event, September 30th. That Friday, all of the stores will have their new Star Wars merchandise, so new action figures, new books, new other merchandise stuff like related to Rogue One or other Star Wars. That's going to be a new big marketing push, so that's something else we have to look forward to every year for as long as they're making money.
Oh, I hear there's a new mail-in offer for Constable Zuvio in his Rogue One outfit.
Wouldn't that be great if we get the story of his father?
That would be awesome.
Or at least a figure of him, but he doesn't actually show up in the movie.
Yeah, maybe he's just old. We don't know. We don't know how long he lives.
He could be. Yeah,
so. He has a bigger hat.
Maybe in episode 8. Finally see him again. So, final thoughts on the trailer, just kind of in general.
It looks good. Like, you know, it isn't much to go on, but it's still like two or three times as much as we'd gotten before. Mm-hmm. The droid, I think it's odd that he's 10 feet tall, but he's cool.
If what I've read correctly, he's an Imperial security droid that has been reprogrammed.
Ah, so. Well, he did have an Imperial logo on his right shoulder. Oh, and that would also explain some of that. With the design thing, his chest plastron looks very much like an Imperial breastplate from Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a little odd. Yeah. But that makes sense if he's an Imperial droid.
Yeah. So, I'm excited. I'm still going to see it. So, thank you very much for being part of this episode with me. Thank you for staying up. Thank you for, you know, watching the Olympics.
You know, there's not a whole lot of people I would subject myself to the Olympics for. Knowing I could just 5 minutes later or tomorrow morning watch this trailer. But I want you to know, friend, I put myself through Olympic swimming to do this with you. So, you know, you just take that for what it's worth.
I know. It was a horrible, horrible chore you had to sit through. So much U.S. victory, and it's just unbearable.
I passed up a Toho Kaiju film for that.
Oh, no.
But no, it's great. I enjoy our talks, and anytime you need me, just let me know.
Oh, thank you very much.
The world is coming undone. Imperial flags reign across the galaxy.
Can you be trusted without your shackles?
Let's just get this over with, shall we?
We have a mission for you.
major weapons test is imminent. We need to know how to destroy it.
If you're really doing this, I want to help.
Good.
Good. I've been recruiting for the Rebellion for a long time.
We destroyed our home!
I fight the Empire now.
I fear nothing. All is as the Force wills it.
The captain says you are a friend. I will not kill you.
Thanks. There isn't much time. Every day they grow stronger.
There is a 97.6% chance of failure.
He means well.
This is our chance to make a real difference. Are you with me?
All the way.
That was all Aaron and I had time for. Again, this was not meant to be a comprehensive or in-depth analysis of the trailer, just a very early reaction. You can be sure that Rogue One will be the subject of a lot of future episodes of the show, as my guests and I unpack new revelations about the movie, the tie-in material, Force Friday, and of course the movie itself, which is coming to theaters on or around December 17th this year. One more thanks to Aaron Bias for joining me on this episode, and thank you for listening. Give Me Those Star Wars is a proud member of the Fire & Water Podcast Network. Feedback for the show can be left at fireandwaterpodcast.com or the Facebook page for Give Me Those Star Wars. You can find me on Twitter at RyanDaily01, or you can send an email to rdailypodcast@gmail.com. Part of the theme music for this podcast is performed by the Evil Genius Orchestra from their album Star Wars Cocktails in the Cantina, available for purchase on iTunes and at Amazon Music. That and all other music, audio clips, or quoted text are used for entertainment purposes and believed covered under fair use. Give Me Those Star Wars is not affiliated with Disney or Lucasfilm, and I make no money from this podcast, so no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.